everyone. Welcome to another episode of Real Talk with Teddy and Lisa. My name's Lisa.
And good morning. My name is Teddy Parsons. Lisa and I are so excited that you are joining us today on the podcast. Hey, before we get started, I want to give a big shout out to one of our listeners, Jeffrey Sorensen. Jeffrey's the executive director at Out on the Lakeshore, located in Holland, Michigan. Thanks, Jeffrey, for reaching out to Real Talk with Teddy and Lisa. We appreciate you. We always want to hear from our listeners and followers of the podcast. You can connect with us through our Facebook page, Real Talk, Teddy Lisa, or email us at teddylisa@realtalk.com. Well, my friend, it's so good to see you back here in the studio again. Apparently, someone in HR really likes you, as my three recent complaints about your brushing off our time and using the policy of time off so much have fallen on deaf ears. But anyway, tell us how your birthday trip to Montreal went. Inquiring minds want to know. Well, okay, it's probably just me, but I want to know. How was it?
Well, it was say magnifique. As they say,
ooh la la, fancy.
Ooh la la, fancy. And I tell you, Teddy, who doesn't love a Canadian, right? I mean, Canadian people are some of the nicest people you'll ever meet. And not only were they giving us free food while we were there, we had one of the shop patrons say to us, hey, here's your food, here's your croissants. And it is a croissant, not croissant, as my daughter says, it's a croissant. And you know what? Take your water and your croissants. And go ahead and sit down. And when you're done, just come up and pay. Now, where does that happen? Where does that happen? You know, so we had a wonderful time. Believe it or not, we felt very, very safe there. Part of it is because you have to show your vaccination card wherever you go, plus your ID. And that means that everybody inside of the restaurant feels a lot safer, right? We felt safe wherever we went, and we really, really enjoyed the people. That's the most important thing. And of course, food ain't bad either.
So you're going to share some pictures with us to put in the gallery of your time together in Montreal, right?
I am. Most of those pictures will be of major coffees and lattes and other things, but I will try to include some pictures of people as well. I drank a lot of coffee.
That's awesome. It sounds like you had a great time.
Yeah, I kind of ate my way through Canada.
Okay, wait a minute. Then I have to ask, was everything wrapped in bacon?
Almost everything. Oh, it was wonderful. Thanks for asking.
Awesome.
So I want to get real here, Teddy. You and I have talked about this a bunch, but I really want to talk about this movie that we both watch on Netflix called Pray Away. I want to give you a little overview of the film. Pray Away focuses on a slew of Christian messengers, basically, who used to preach and embody gay conversion therapy. The group is called Exodus International. They were formed in the 1970s, but most of their real work was done during the 80s and 90s. At its peak, Exodus International had a budget of about $1 million, 25 employees, and served as an umbrella organization for 400 local ministries in 17 countries. And this movie was, really hit me hard. And so I really wanted to know what you thought of this documentary, and I know we both have a lot to say about it.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, Lisa, for sharing that. You know, with our fancy PhDs, we always have something to say. Well, really, before we dive deep into our conversation, I want to let our listeners know that we take great strides and a lot of pride in our roles as podcast hosts. In full transparency, we had already recorded this podcast and it was posted a couple of weeks ago, but both agreed it may have been a bit triggering for some, so we are back for round two. We will always keep it real, but we'll always be mindful of our words and the message we put out into the world.
Well, about the film, this movie, Teddy, should be called Stay Away.
Oh my God, I love that.
And I don't mean people should stay away from watching it. Everybody should watch this movie because, you know, no force is more powerful and easier to use against someone than their faith, right? And so this group of Christian people, so-called Christian leaders, decided that they were going to, you know, develop an organization that really helped people transition away from their gayness. And so I really, you know, again, thought long and hard about this film. And, you know, I really struggled with it because, you know, it starts with the whole premise that there's something wrong with this group of people, right? And I should say right up front that the co-founder, Bussie, of, you know, Exodus International left in 1979 because he says, and I quote, "I never saw one of our members become heterosexual." As many of you may know, this organization was dissolved in 2013. And at that time, the leader at that time said, you know, we had done a lot of harm and pain to too many people. And that was Alan Chambers in 2013. At that time, they still had $1 million in their budget when they dissolved. So this was all about money. And you know, we don't want to give away too much of the film, right? But it's you'll see it was all about money and about power. But they were very, very influential and still are in some cases. So, Teddy, what did you think?
Well, I'll tell you, as you're saying that, you know, you mentioned it's all about money. I also think they were selling false hope. They were selling something, a product that they couldn't deliver on. And I, you know, I've told you this before, I found this film upsetting on so many levels. One is an openly proud gay man and one who celebrates a strong faith. It was infuriating to me that somebody is telling other people, especially LGBTQ plus people, you can't have a strong faith. I don't get how somebody, you know, we see this a lot, that a lot of evangelists, you know, say they're speaking on behalf of the Lord. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but I really don't believe the Lord has taken time out of his busy schedule to come and sit and talk to a fool like you about what you need to preach. I really did find it damaging. It was upsetting that, and you could see, and we talked about one of the main characters in there who opens this documentary. I did not once see that person smile. I don't recall them really ever being happy throughout the documentary. And it made me sad. It made me angry. It made me want to scream. So it evoked a lot of feelings. What about you?
Well, I felt the same way because I could see again that from and the document really talks about this through particularly through one of the survivors who is seeking healing and acceptance from all of this and really a decade of trauma. And it shows her from the beginning and her involvement in it, how she got involved in this so-called movement and then how she found her way out. And so I really related to her, this primary character in the movie, and I really related to her, again, sort of, you know, getting swept away by all of this because she was in a really vulnerable stage of her life. And that's where I think you and I feel the pain is that, you know, these people who are in very vulnerable positions were manipulated, as these leaders now say, through their faith. And I see that not just in some faiths, but in many faiths. So I think that any faith that starts to tell you as an individual that you are somehow separate from the rest, right? There's always the you are separate and there's something wrong with you, right? It starts with that. You're separate. There's something wrong with you. And this is what you need in your life to make you whole. You know, for me, you know, being the little rebel that I am, you know, inside of me goes, what? Wait, hold on. And so, you know, that whole movement, you know, damaged her. And they really show that in depth, how she went from being very involved and very manipulated to finding her way out of it. And I think that's what the power of it is. It doesn't really leave you with a lot of opinions as much as any good documentary does. It leaves you with examples from people who actually went through it. And that's what's really telling.
Yeah. And spoiler alert for our listeners, if you haven't seen it, it does end with a beautiful love story. So that was amazing. So, you know, Lisa, as you're saying all of this, I think we would be remiss if we did not make sure for any clergy, anybody who is a member of the clergy, they're mindful of the damage they can cause. You know, even if they, you know, claim to be a person of faith and, you know, and speak on behalf of God or whatever their faith is, we have to remember that they too are, you know, just normal people like we are with the job. But we, and if you go to a church, you know, and I'm saying this to especially my LGBTQ plus brothers and sisters, if you're going to a church where you are not accepted and you hear tired comments like, you know, we love the sinner, but not the sin, you need to go. There are so many great churches out there, so many great, you know, faith institutions who do want to welcome you, embrace you, and love you. So what is your thought about that, about, you know, our clergy who preach hate from the pulpit on Sunday mornings?
Well, the tricky thing is, and this documentary really shows this, is it's always cloaked in sort of, you know, vague messages, right? Or, and again, I think the key word is cloaked. You know, when you as an individual, I would just recommend to people, you know, I don't want to be preachy here, right? Or judgmental, but I think when you start to hear that somehow, you know, everybody needs healing, right? But it can be twisted. It can be twisted into you need healing from this, right? You need healing from something that somebody is judging you about. And I think that's where clergy, you know, needs to be careful. I am not an expert, although I'm an expert in everything else, Teddy. I am not an expert in faith. I think it's a very personal thing. But I do know that, personally speaking, whenever somebody would provide judgment to me as part of their faith, and everybody knows what judgment is because we know how it makes us feel, that's always the time where the red light goes off for me. You know, wow, wow, wow. That's my red light. I'm in charge of sound effects, by the way. It's pretty bad sound effect.
It was, but I didn't. I can't complain because, you know, our budget is sad.
We're on a budget. But, you know, it's when that, you know, light goes off in my head and I say, wait, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Wait a minute. And it, you know, it feels wrong to me. So I, you know, I'm with you, Teddy. I think, you know, everybody needs to feel, you know, first of all, that they're accepted. And this whole movement was not an acceptance movement. It was the exact opposite. It was an anti-gay movement, which was, you know, you've got something wrong with you, and here's a way that you can fix it. Now, how it was manipulative is this group of people couldn't talk to anybody at that time about being gay, right? So as you read more about it, and there's a good New York Times article about it, you realize that this provided an opportunity for the gay community to have conversations that they could never have before, right? So of course they were interested in talking to people about this, but the manipulative part is that it started with there's something wrong with you.
You know, Lisa, I want to quick say, I appreciate you saying it was cloaked, you know, and kind of the messages was cloaked in hate. And I'm thinking about a church here, and I'm not even going to dignify their name. They have several locations. Our listeners here in Lansing can probably figure it out. But on their website about them, it states, we believe marriage is between one man and one woman. And then they put a line after that, but that does not allow us to be hateful, something like that. And I kind of laugh, and I'm just like, well, you're being hateful just by what you said. You know, you're diminishing millions of marriages that are, you know, that, you know, LGBTQ plus people have, you know, and that they are before God, no different than yours. So thanks for saying that. I think it's really important that people understand. And again, make sure you're picking a church. If you are a true social justice warrior, you want to be in a place where everyone can come before whatever sense of higher power and feel welcomed, affirmed, and feel included. You know, so again, and you know, I have a friend in Grand Rapids who is incredible. She has stayed with her church. I think she grew up in the church. She's married and she's lesbian and married, and she has stayed with her church, even though at times they, you know, but she has made great strides in getting her church to change their view. So major props to people who can do that. I probably don't have that kind of tolerance, and because, you know, I have no shame in my game, and, you know, I'm not afraid to tell people what I think. So I don't know. I really, again, the film was troubling for me. But Lisa, do you have that New York Times article so we can put it on the episode narrative? Can we locate that?
Yeah, I will locate that and I will send it, and we can post it so people can go to that. You know, there's a lot of information about this organization and the movie. And I encourage everybody to, you know, do their own research and find out about it. Just by the way, you know, Ebert, or at least Ebert's organization, only gave us 2.5 stars. I gave it 4 stars because I, even though Ebert was, you know, analyzing this movie based on just, you know, really, you know, how you judge a movie, right? I think this is a must see for a lot of people. And I think it's, you know, something that you want to learn about, you want to, you know, understand, and, you know, it will make you feel, no doubt, it's going to make you feel something. But I, you know, I think everybody needs to understand this and understand the harm that these people did. Now, you know, as U2 says, you know, in the name of love, what more in the name of love? And it gets back to what you were saying, Teddy. You know, you've got an organization that's posting, well, we love you, but, and always here, Teddy, here's the takeaway. Always look for the big but. Always look for the big but, because, you know, you can't have somebody say to you, you know, you're really great. Like if I said to you, Teddy, I love you, but, right? Always look for the big but.
And I'm sorry, Lisa, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Now you've got Sir Mix-a-Lot in my head. Oh my God, Becky, look at her butt. Sorry. See, that's where I went.
That's okay. But you know, this is the thing, is that this is how the message always starts. The message of exclusion always starts with a but. Remember when you were a kid and somebody said to you, hey, you know, you did that really good, but? Well, the but negates whatever they said to you, right? And it's the same thing for faith and religion and everything else. I know I'm on my pulpit here, but, you know, look, watch for the but. Watch for the but. I'm just saying, Teddy.
So I'm sorry. Now let me get serious here. You know, Lisa, what if we put a challenge out to our listeners to use this documentary in their places of worship, wherever, you know, their faith-based worship is, and to have open dialogue with their pastor, their faith teams, their worship teams, and the people in the church. What do you think? Should we put that out there and ask people to really maybe watch this with, you know, their churches and get some dialogue going?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, they can also reference, you know, Christianity Today. They have a recent article about this. And, you know, again, saying that this whole organization was dissolved in 2013, and they claim that, you know, there's no focus on this anymore, but you will see that the impact, when they do their research and they talk to people about that, that there's a greater impact about this, because again, this organization reached 400 local ministries in 17 countries. So this was a big deal. And I think that's great, Teddy. Let's put it up there.
Yeah, you know, and what I'm curious about, you know, and I don't want to go dark here, but I think what you're saying is, you know, as we saw, I thought it was interesting. We didn't have the data, and I think it would have been interesting if, you know, how many people who went through this Exodus International died by suicide. How many, do you know what I mean? I don't recall them ever talking about the dark side of that organization.
No, they didn't. But the primary character goes through an entire, you know, trauma experience because of it. And I don't want to give it away. It's worth watching her again, who I thought was incredibly impactful from the start of this movie all the way through. And there is a dark side to this. And she does show that in terms of the trauma that she experienced and still is healing, right, to this day.
Yeah. And again, you know, we want to make sure that our listeners know we're not passing judgment. There's still a lot of organizations out there like Exodus International. They may be on a smaller scale. They're still out there doing damage. But we want everyone to know, whether you're LGBTQ plus or not, that we love you and you are welcome here in our conversation. And we want to celebrate you in whatever form and whatever journey you're on. Can I get an amen up in here?
Amen.
Okay, my friend, anything else on that? That was a great conversation. And again, thank you for doing the research to let us know about this documentary. Anything else you want to add on that?
No, I think I'd really encourage everybody to watch it. And then let's keep this dialogue going with the people who are listening to us. We want you to participate with us online. And please recommend us, of course, to your friends. We want to continue this conversation.
Yeah. So, yes, that was our cheaper marketing budget and branding budget. So, all right. It was so awesome to hang out with my friend Lisa today, but unfortunately our time together is coming to an end. Thank you again for joining us on another episode of Real Talk with Teddy and Lisa. We look forward to having you join us on a future episode. We encourage you to take a minute to learn more about us by visiting our website at TLRealTalk.com. Also, please make sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
Thanks again, everyone, for joining us on this episode of Real Talk with Teddy and Lisa. Remember, no matter where life's journey takes you, it's always a great time to grab a cup of coffee or a latte, some hot tea or a martini, and let's keep it real.